America, it's been almost 4 years. Almost 4 years since the very first source came forward and told me that there was an operation going on against then President-elect Donald Trump. And before that, you know, it was during the campaign, the Trump campaign and the FBI and the ongoing lies that were being told to the American people. And now, thank God for Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell, who said enough's enough and just declassified the names on the Obama list of those Obama officials that were requesting basically to unmask conversations that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who was then the national security advisor for President Trump, after the November election, when he was selected by President Trump to be his national security advisor, people from the Obama administration were listening in on phone calls he was making, communications with foreign leaders. 48 separate requests for his name to be unmasked by 16 senior Obama officials. You know, what's really interesting is that everybody's focusing on, of course, former Vice President Joe Biden, who also made those requests. And Samantha Power, we know she made enormous requests. In the document that DNI Rick Grenell released, she made 7 requests to basically unmask Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. 7. But I want you to think about this. Towards the end of Obama's tenure, UN ambassador Samantha Power actually made close to 300 unmasking requests. From 2013 until the end of Obama's tenure, unmasking requests went up triple, nearly 300%. It's incredible the abuse of power that was residing within the Obama administration. The abuse of power, just trampling all over the Fourth Amendment. It was like they weaponized the entire system against their political enemies, and that's exactly what they did. And that's why, since the very beginning, I remember 2017, it was, I was at Circa, John Solomon and I, and actually Eli Lake wrote the very first stories on unmasking. And I remember when Congressman Devin Nunes, I actually remember when he first came out and talked about all of these strange findings, how the left and the Democrats attacked him. They went after him. They made up stories about him, how he was rushing to the White House in the middle of the night, you know, to get documents that weren't even valid, that all of this was made up. No, Congressman Devin Nunes has been vindicated. And by the way, so has Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. What is happening to him is the biggest travesty of all, because the Department of Justice has actually asked. We know all this information now. Let me just reiterate what we have found out over the past week, because I can lose you here. But basically, this is what we have discovered, that the FBI, through Bill Priestip's notes, remember, he's the deputy counterintelligence guy over at the FBI. He was in meetings with then Deputy Director Andrew McCabe and Director James Comey. He leaves those meetings and he's writing down notes. We have his notes now that basically say, you know, we're going to go in there and interview him. What is the objective? To get him to lie or to get him fired? To get Michael Flynn to lie or to get him fired? It's insanity, people, that the FBI was behind all of this. And what they've done to him. And not only that, the people connected to this investigation destroyed General Michael Flynn's reputation publicly. They leaked lies to mainstream media outlets that were friendly to them across the globe, both in London and here. They made up all kinds of lies about him being connected to the Russians. Michael Flynn was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He had to go through numerous pollies. He always reported back to the DIA everything, all of his communications with Russia. I interviewed him when he got back from Russia on that one occasion. And he was totally frank and open about every single thing he did. And all of the classified information he was giving to the Defense Intelligence Agency. He was still reporting back. He was completely cleared. And I'm going to take you to this, bring you back. I'm going to bring you all the way back. January 4th, 2017, we now have the FBI documents that were given by Jeffrey Jensen to Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn's attorney. That was supposed to be the close of Michael Flynn's case, because guess what? The DIA, the CIA, the FBI, any three-letter agency that they submitted a report on Michael Flynn with, there was absolutely no derogatory information on him. He did everything by the book. But then January 5th, something curious happens. There is a meeting at the White House. And yes, Vice President Biden was there. And yes, Susan Rice was there. She wrote her email to self on that day. And President Obama was there. And Sally Yates was stunned that President Obama actually had all this information on Michael Flynn's secret phone call with Russian Ambassador Kislyak. I mean, these highly classified documents, because there was a FISA on Kislyak, the former Russian ambassador, and that they unmasked Michael Flynn's name. And President Obama knew about it. And by the way, so did Vice President Joe Biden. And I want to play a clip for you right now. Adam, can we play that clip of Joe Biden's flip-flop when George Stephanopoulos, who, by the way, good for George, asked him the question about what he knew about Michael Flynn and what he didn't know. And I'm going to bring it all back.
So what did you know about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn? And was there anything improper done?
I know nothing about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn, number one. Number two, this is all about diversion.
And then this is about 20 seconds later in the same interview.
I do want to press that. You say you didn't know anything about it, but you were reported to be at a January 5th, 2017 meeting where you and the president were briefed on the FBI's plan to question Michael Flynn over those conversations he had with the Russian ambassador Kislyak.
Now, I thought you asked me whether or not I had anything to do with him being prosecuted.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was aware that there was that they asked for an investigation, but that's all I know about it.
Wow. I mean, he just backtracked just like a kid with his hand in the cookie jar. He just got caught. You know, he backtracked and then he had to explain. But he actually requested for Flynn's name to be unmasked in documents. We know that now because we have the list. We have the list only because Richard Grenell followed through with what the president wanted to have done in 2018, and that was declassify all these documents. And thankfully for Senator Charles Grassley and Senator Ron Johnson, when there was a little bit of a spat between the Department of Justice and the DNI on making these documents public, Senator Grassley and Senator Johnson wanted those documents. They wanted them to go public. They requested them directly from the DNI, and he obliged and turned over these declassified documents that show a number of people on there that requested unmaskings. I want you to think about how rare this is. This is so absolutely rare that even friends of mine who served in the CIA, who were officers, spent 30 years of their life, their career in the agency, some of them never made an unmasking request. Some of them recall only making two in 30 years, to unmask an American in a phone call. That's why they are minimized. That's why these are redacted from public view, because people have a right to privacy. And this should not be used as a tool to spy on anyone or any American. And it's very important that you understand this, because had President Trump not won this election, had the American people not voted for him, we would have never been the wiser. And guess what? They would have continued to abuse their power. That's how dangerous all of this is. And now we know the truth. And now poor Michael Flynn is in the middle of a bigger mess right now with this judge, Emmett Sullivan. It's like he's deranged. It's like he's lost his mind, this judge. He is not allowing. The DOJ says, look, let's drop this case against Flynn. I want to drop the case against Michael Flynn. Because now we've seen all this evidence that he is innocent of all of these charges, that he was strong-armed by the special counsel, that he was lied to, that he was set up for a perjury trap, that there was malfeasance. Doesn't matter to Judge Emmett Sullivan. DOJ says, drop the case. We're done. We're done with this. Let Michael Flynn go free. Exonerate. Exonerate this man. Uh-uh, not Emmett Sullivan. He said, no, wait a minute. I'm going to bring somebody else in. He brings this guy Gleason in right now to see oversee these amicus briefs. Because there's these people that call themselves the Watergate prosecutors. They're leftists. And they're fighting the DOJ on dropping the charges against Michael Flynn, even though we have all the evidence showing that Flynn in no way, shape, or form violated anything, committed any crime, that he was set up by criminals, by criminals. So I have two very special guests today. I am really excited to have them on. We have the House Whip. Congressman Steve Scalise from the great state of Louisiana. He is going to be here to talk to us about the latest developments, not just in Flynn's case, you know, in the Flynn case, but also with the DNI. And what about Nancy Pelosi and this $3 trillion package of goodies that the Democrats want to dump on American taxpayers right now and what's happening there? I also have the great Congressman Doug Collins on today from Georgia. He is going to be talking to us about the same developments, but also what's going on with Senator Richard Burr. And now that the FBI has requested his cell phone and all of, you know, his iCloud communications, this is regarding stock sales before the coronavirus announcement. So remember, this is COVID-19 issue. This is when Senator Burr, as well as Senator Loeffler, Kelly Loeffler from Georgia, apparently sold off a lot of stocks. Now, right now, there's no stories out there saying that Senator Loeffler is being investigated. I'd like to get what Congressman Collins has to say on that. It's very interesting because he's going to be running against her. He is running against her this year in the Senate in Georgia. So that and much, much more coming to you from the Sarah Carter Show. I am so grateful, America, to have you here with me. And this is a big time in our history, a very important time in our history, that we don't stop fighting, that we keep moving forward, and that we persevere and get the truth out. The most important thing are the historical facts here, folks. And let's get started now with... Whoa, you guys, we've got some big breaking news, big breaking news. That was the Jenny Bomb, by the way. She just sent me a text message that Senator Richard Burr, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, my fault. I'm thinking of Devin Nunes too much, right? But the Senate Intelligence Committee, Richard Burr, is removing himself as the chairman. This is huge news. Because let me tell you, the FBI doesn't do this lightly. I mean, this type of an investigation into a U.S. senator, possibly for, you know, insider trading. I mean, they're looking at all kinds of issues here. They're not just going to take his cell phone, interface with his iCloud, unless it's the Obama administration. Then we've got something else going on. No, but I'm actually being serious about that, because that's exactly what they did without any evidence, right? They were looking at people's communications. But in this case, with Senator Richard Burr, it's a very serious charge, insider trading. And I want to refresh your memory about this. He wasn't the only one that was being accused of selling stocks when the president, right before the president enacted a number of changes that shut down our economy, basically, with the outbreak of the coronavirus. Remember, there was Senator Kelly Loeffler as well from Georgia. And that is one of the reasons why I actually brought on Congressman Doug Collins to talk about this, because he has been very focused. He's running for the Senate in Georgia, and this is a very important issue to him. He's spoken out publicly against Senator Loeffler. What's interesting is that the FBI has targeted Senator Richard Burr in this case. We haven't seen any news on Senator Kelly Loeffler. So just to be clear, there is no news that the FBI has asked her for her cell phones, have asked her for anything. So, but we're going to see what Congressman Collins has to say about that. But that's really huge news. Oh, another big piece of breaking news as well, just so you're aware, is that Senator Lindsey Graham finally is going to call for hearings, which he has been promising for more than a year now, on Crossfire Hurricane. And this is very important, because Senator Graham can open up so much more than what we've seen in the past, bringing in subpoenaing witnesses. We need to make sure that we get witnesses in there to talk. Also, is the senator going to call anybody with the issue, the impeachment issue with Ukraine and President Donald Trump? That'll be very interesting to see as well. So this is all really big news. It's happening right now as I'm talking to you, and very important for all of us to be aware of what's going on, because there's going to be a lot of changes, folks, a lot of changes. And if Senator Burr did sell that stock, if there was insider trading involved, now he has said absolutely not. I want to reiterate, Senator Burr has been very clear that he is says he is innocent of any charges, alleged charges against him, that he did not do any insider trading and was open to any investigation of his actions. So now we just got to wait and see. You know, this is Washington, D.C. A lot of things are said here, and a lot of times those things that are said are not accurate or not true. Sometimes people lie, but we got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And we have to wait for an investigation. And I think it's important to wait for Senator Burr for this investigation to unfold to see what happened. And I also think it's important to question, why did the FBI go after Senator Burr and not after Senator Loeffler in this instance? But we don't know. Maybe they have. Maybe they have. Maybe the story just hasn't broke yet. So we'll see. We'll see what House Whip Congressman Scalise has to say. We'll see what Congressman Collins has to say. And if there's any more breaking news, we will bring it to you here. The Jenny bomb will go off and we will get to you right away. I promise you that. I promise you that. So looking forward to having Congressman Steve Scalise on the show with me today. Remember, you can follow me too at Sarah Carter DC on Twitter. That's Sarah Carter DC on Twitter for any of the latest news. Congressman Scalise, thank you so much for being here with me today at the Sarah Carter Show. You are the House GOP whip. And first of all, I want everybody to understand what this means, because we're talking to our listeners here and there's so many listeners. You have to whip everyone into shape, don't you?
Well, Sarah, good to be with you. And look, when you're trying to help President Trump get this country back on track, it hasn't been hard getting our members to be in line with working together to help get families back, to get small businesses back going, and doing it safely, by the way. And you see the states that are doing it, and they're seeing really good results, and they're doing it safely and helping people get back on their feet. Some states, as we know, are holding back, and their economy suffering, and people are suffering too. And so I just enjoy working with my colleagues and making sure that we're doing everything we can to help work with the president to get the country back on track.
And that's a very serious, and I, you know, before we get into all of the breaking news, because there's been so much breaking news this week with regard to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, with regard to the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, and the Obama administration and those officials that were involved in Crossfire Hurricane. Before we get to that, you brought up a very important point. You are now actually have been selected to lead, and I have this story right here. It's from Fox News, our favorite cable network. Full disclosure, I am a contributor. And yes, you are the top Republican on a new coronavirus committee. And this is important to a lot of Americans and to a lot of the listeners out there. You know, I've been on lockdown just like everyone else for the last 6 weeks here in Northern Virginia. I've had to do homeschooling with my 7-year-old daughter, like all the other parents out there struggling to manage our jobs. For those of us that still have our jobs and our small businesses, like my small business, and keeping people employed and teaching our children at the same time. This has been a really tough time for all of us. I felt like I had two breakdowns this week, just to be totally honest with everyone out there, just because I felt like I can't keep up with everything, you know? So what are you doing? What are the Republicans doing to move this forward and the administration so that the American people can get back to some sense of normalcy and some balance here with what we've been having to deal with, especially with this pandemic?
Yeah, you know, that's been a top focus of mine, Sarah. And I also, you get to wear a lot of hats these days. The president asked me to serve on his task force to reopen the economy a few weeks ago. So I've been working with a lot of heads of trade associations, talking to the heads of sports leagues and even local restaurants in New Orleans. We love our restaurants. We want to see them reopen. And they're working on safe protocols. Everybody's focused on safety. But they also know if you keep this economy shut down too long, there are a lot of businesses that just won't come back. And so there are very big health issues that are involved in that too, that we've seen. I looked at in my parish, we had a 42% increase in non-COVID related deaths when you compare last year to this year, because people aren't going to get things like, their mammograms and their colonoscopies. And if you have heart problems, people aren't going to the doctor and they're dying of heart attacks. That's happening too. And so you got to look at the whole picture as we look at states that are reopening and seeing the success, seeing that their hospital visits are going down. Most hospitals are almost empty right now, and right. They're losing money because they don't have people going in and getting their, all the different surgeries and the hip replacements and the ACL. So we've got to get all of that back opened again. And in the meantime, like you, I'm homeschooling as well. My wife is the principal of the Scalise Homeschool Academy, but I was just helping my daughter do a science project the other day, and my son, who's 11, working on the area of a circle, is still pi r squared. By the way, that formula still works. So that's been
thanks
fun
for
too.
Reminding me, because I feel completely lost.
Yeah, no, you're right. But it helps you keep your sanity when you're dealing with all these other issues that are so important to getting the economy back open. But I'll tell you, on the task force that you mentioned, this coronavirus, it's really almost an impeachment committee that Speaker Pelosi set up. It was a very partisan vote where you've got all these other oversight committees, but she set up a committee just to try to go after the president. And I've been pushing to say, why don't we set our efforts on helping people get back to work, helping families get through the struggles? And, oh, by the way, why aren't we focused on holding China accountable in all this, Sarah? Clearly the role they played in the World Health Organization in hiding this from the world. We could have saved thousands of lives in America, millions of lives, yet they hid all this information. Why isn't Pelosi working with us to hold China accountable? Those are the things that we should be doing while we're trying to help families get back on their feet.
Such an important point, Congressman, because I would tell you, when you look at the scope of China, and I think based on this pandemic, because what we have learned is that we are vulnerable now to China and to what China has been doing. Not only are we vulnerable because our manufacturing jobs and our antibiotics, over 80%, over 90% in some cases of our medication is produced in China, but we're starting to see what's happening in the United States with China Telecom, for example. I spoke to FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr, who was concerned about China's infiltration even inside the United States when it comes to our telecom and our communications.
Huawei and these companies. Huawei. Right. Control so much of our data, our personal data.
And that's a huge issue. And now Nancy Pelosi, instead of doing what you're saying, instead of working together with the Republicans to help the American people get out of this crisis and to work with the administration to point the finger at who's to blame here, which is China and the Chinese Communist Party, not their people, but the CCP. Instead of doing that, she's come up with this $3 trillion bill that just lines the pockets of all of these special interests and everything else, that the Democratic cookie jar is what I call it. And you're fighting against that as well. I mean, this is really an imperative time for America. We have 36 million people that have applied as of today, 36 million or more for unemployment. So how do you handle that? How do we work around that?
And that's where we've got to keep fighting to help people safely reopen so that you don't have millions more people put on the unemployment rolls. And what is Pelosi's answer? To put this big, unicorn of socialist special interest ideas like, paying illegals, paying abortion providers with taxpayer money, paying states that were, by the way, states that were already going bankrupt, that had multi-billion dollar deficits. She wants to bail them out with our taxpayer money and bail out pension funds instead of working with families to get back on their feet and helping them get back to work. So there is a job to go back to. And again, you look at the serious cost to mental health, the suicides that are up right now. Again, the people that aren't going and getting their regular health taken care of. I mean, we need to focus on opening all those things up, the gyms that are closed that can safely reopen. Why aren't they focusing on that instead of just giving trillions of dollars more printing press money to bail out states and to pay illegals and all this other foolishness? That's a different set of priorities. And it shows you, we're fighting for families. The president's fighting to help families. They're fighting for their socialist special interest friends.
Before I go to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, which is really important, and what's happened here and the investigations that are going to be beginning, I guess, in the Senate with Senator Lindsey Graham, I want to ask you one final question. What is Nancy Pelosi really doing here? Because she knows the Republicans are not going to agree to this package, to this $3 trillion package. So what is her objective? Is her objective just to continue to stymie until the November elections to wreak havoc across our nation? Or is there some objective that we are unaware of that Nancy Pelosi is trying to achieve with this ridiculous package?
Yeah, you know, everything they do here in Washington, every day Nancy Pelosi wakes up and tries to figure out how to stop Donald Trump from getting reelected. But look, there's an election in November. The people are going to have a chance to decide that in due time. And oh, by the way, one day eventually Joe Biden's going to have to come out of hiding and answer some really tough questions about, you know, everything from the Reid allegations to now this unmasking scandal, as you're referencing with General Flynn, disgraceful things that he was right in the middle of. And he gets softball questions every couple of minutes when they bring him out of his basement. That's going to end sometime where he's going to have to get back out and face the music for what's really going on out there. But they try to use every day to just attack and berate and harass President Trump instead of working with him. People are sick and tired of that kind of politics right now.
Oh, absolutely. And now that we see that former Vice President Joe Biden did request unmasking of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, along with 16 other senior Obama officials, everyone from John Brennan, Samantha Power had 7 requests to unmask him. And this is only what we know of. This is only Michael Flynn, Congressman. We haven't seen all the other requests that have been out there, which I heard are extensive and go far beyond Michael Flynn. So now that we know all of this has been done, what do you think? I mean, should Joe Biden just recuse himself from being the presidential candidate? I mean, they were involved in spying on an American citizen. I mean, these are very serious charges, and John Durham is investigating the full scope of this matter. But what do you think is going on here? What do you think Biden's role, what should he answer to? Is there a way that we're going to find the truth here?
He's going to have to answer to all this. This is a major national scandal. And if you could just imagine, you know the answer to this, but for most people watching, if there was a Republican who did this to a Democrat candidate for president, the mainstream national media would be outraged. And every single day before they talked about COVID-19, they'd be talking about this scandal, where you literally had an attempted coup. I mean, read the definition of coup and show me how it doesn't apply here. People that were in national security positions, people that worked for some of our most sensitive agencies like the FBI and Department of Justice, were working to try to stop Donald Trump from getting elected. They entrapped General Flynn. You know, the memos are out there now. They wanted to get him fired or get him indicted. That's not what a law enforcement official sets out to do. They're supposed to look for facts, not to look for a way to trap somebody into saying something and then go threaten his children in order to get a guilty verdict that has now been thrown aside. And you got this judge, you know, with his own partisan approach to this thing. I mean, this thing is rotten to the core. We're just getting to the tip of the iceberg. How much more is involved? How high up does it go? I think if you look at this, Barack Obama has some serious questions to answer. And Joe Biden's name is all over this, too. They're trying to cover it up, but it won't go away. This is going to be something that eventually they're going to have to come out of the basement and start answering these serious questions about their role in using the national intelligence apparatus of the United States to stop a candidate for president from getting elected because they disagreed with his politics. That happens in third world nations. Sarah, this should have never happened in America. People need to be held accountable. People need to go to jail. And I think once you start digging and you see charges filed, this could go all the way up to the top.
I have said that from the beginning, that the only time I've ever seen anything take place like this was, for example, when I covered Pakistan or Afghanistan, where I would see their intelligence apparatus or their military apparatus working against their administration, you know, or where there would be this inside plays by senior officials in the intelligence world in what I would consider non-democratic governments, right? I mean, even if they lean more towards democracy, they're not. And we saw that in emerging countries like Afghanistan. I never thought I would see that here in the United States of America. And there are a lot of Americans out there, Congressman, who are so frustrated. They feel like justice is never going to come. Like, what is it going to take for America to get back up on its feet, to trust these agencies again, both the FBI as well as our intelligence agencies, to have that trust in these agencies again? Is it going to, I believe it's going to have to take indictments. People are going to have to pay the price. Do you think that's going to be necessary?
It is necessary. You know, you need to see people held accountable for what they did. I mean, this is something that never should have been allowed. It happened. We know it happened. We know some of the names already that are out there in the public. There are probably more. I think once you see some of these indictments come out, some of these people are going to talk because it goes higher up. How high up it goes, we need to find out. And it's only going to happen. You know, you can have investigations to the hilt, but justice delayed is justice denied. And I think it's been too long. There's been enough investigations. It's time to move forward with actual indictments. We know people who broke the law. Let's hold them accountable. Let's send them to jail. Let's have them talk about their role and tell us who else was involved. When there are transcripts that say the seventh floor of the FBI was involved, we know what that means. That means it was higher up. Maybe it went into the White House. Maybe we know Joe Biden was involved in some of this. How much of this was he involved in? And Barack Obama. Those questions need to be asked, and they need to be asked soon. The voters need to have all this information, because this is, it should not have happened in America. Yes, it happens in third world nations, and we criticize it when it happens there. We absolutely ought to have the highest standard when it comes to our national security and law enforcement agencies here, just to restore the good name of the credibility of the FBI, which is so important to our national security. They want it cleaned up. The good agents in the FBI don't want the scandal lingering out there. There are dirty cops and bad apples that we know of over at the FBI. They need to be held accountable to tell everybody else we're not going to tolerate it.
That's right. And I have two more questions for you. And I could talk to you all day, actually, Congressman. I know you're so busy, but I could talk to you all day about all of these
issues. There's a lot
issues.
To cover.
There's so much to cover because so much has happened. I have two more. First, Senator Lindsey Graham is now finally going to hold hearings on Crossfire Hurricane. Who do you think are the most important witnesses that he should call? Who should he subpoena? And what should they answer? And number two, on Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, because of the new developments, you know, the Judge Emmett Sullivan, I don't know what's going on with that judge, but, you know, the DOJ wants to drop all the charges. They want to end this charade. We've seen all the evidence. Judge Emmett Sullivan is basically blockading that with these amicus briefs from these left-leaning Watergate prosecutors. And now he's brought on this other Judge Gleason to argue basically on the side of the court for saying that Michael Flynn perjured himself, even though the DOJ is dropping the charges. So I've got two of those questions. First, on Lindsey Graham, who should be the witnesses that he calls? And secondly, on Judge Emmett Sullivan, do you think the president is just going to have to get involved here and just pardon Michael Flynn based on the political leanings of this judge?
Yeah, it's unbelievable to watch what this judge is doing. And, you know, he ought to just take the robe off and go become a prosecutor, because he's trying to act like a biased prosecutor. You know, by the way, a prosecutor's not supposed to be biased. He clearly does have a bias, and he's trying to use that role, but he's not. He's a judge. And the evidence, my gosh, if you can't look at this evidence and say, they set this guy up, you know, oh, he pled guilty. Yeah, when they were threatening to go after his family with unlimited resources of the federal government. So they're bankrupting General Flynn. They're trying to tarnish his name with all these false innuendos that it turns out there was no evidence. The FBI was ready to drop the whole case. And then political people stepped in and said, no, we want to go after this guy anyway because we don't like Donald Trump. That happened. Why Sullivan wants to drag this out is only going to tarnish his name and reputation. But at the end of the day, when you look at what Lindsey Graham is going after, I think everybody is really glad that he is going to start holding people accountable. Clearly, Comey, there's a long list of people. There are dirty cops over there. We already know some of their names. I think once you get these people talking under oath, where they're going to have to be sworn in and testify under oath, you're going to get a completely different story and a larger picture of all the other people involved. Some we know, some we don't know yet. But this thing goes high. It could go all the way to the top. We need to find out, and we need to find out soon.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. Is there anything we need to be watching out for, our listeners? Maybe a little tip on something that we don't know about that's coming up that we could tease, or have we pretty much covered everything?
Well, look, we've covered a lot, but look at these states. We have 36 states now that have opened safely, Sarah. This isn't a trade-off between your physical health and your economic health. You can do both, and states are showing you how to do it. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. But look at this number, and you want a number to look at. Johns Hopkins just came out with a study that talks about all of the children that are not getting immunizations because of the shut-in, like 70% of immunizations. They predict that you could have as many as more than a million children die that are under the age of 5 years old in the next year worldwide, in the next few years, because of the fact that they're not getting immunizations. And so there is a health cost, a dramatic health cost, to the shut-ins where people aren't going out and getting their mammograms and their colonoscopies. And those deaths are something that we all ought to be concerned about, as we're concerned about everything else COVID-related. Look at the non-COVID impact as well, and then go see how states are safely reopening. That's the model we need to use across the country.
I absolutely agree, and I brought that up a number of times, what's happening to our healthcare system across this country because of these closures, because of these shutdowns. I brought it up on Laura Ingraham's show. I brought it up on Steve Hilton's show. I mean, we have over 1.5 million healthcare workers that have been laid off and hospitals shutting down. So please, everyone, listen to what Congressman Scalise is saying. It's important. We shouldn't let fear dominate our decision making. We should use common sense, and we should get out there and try to do our best to mitigate the spread of this virus, but at the same time, reopen our economy, get Americans back to work, get our country moving again, and get our checkups so that we don't end up being one of those non-COVID related deaths. So thank you so much, Congressman Scalise. Thank you for your time, and thank you for everything you do. I know it's been a long week for everyone.
That's all right. We're going to get through this together, Sarah, but thank you for what you do to get these facts out.
Oh, thank you. It's great to have you on. I hope you come back.
We'll do this again. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe in person one day soon. We'll get to that point.
I would really appreciate. That I would really like. That's definitely at the top of my list.
You're here. All right. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, Congressman.
Bye.
Bye.
And now here we are. This is Doug Collins from Georgia, ready to go on the Sarah Carter podcast. Live.
I'm telling you, Congressman, you have the best radio voice of anyone in Congress. Okay, next to, I would say you're right up there. I always joke around with Sebastian Gorka because of his deep
yes.
baritone. This is Sebastian Gorka. And I always have to say, like, but the only other person is you. You're great. I'll take it any day. You know, we just got done speaking with Congressman Steve Scalise, you know, the GOP House Whip.
Great friend.
Yeah, but he, you know, brought up a lot of issues dealing with COVID. Before I go to Senator Burr and the big breaking news, and I definitely had told the listeners, I was saying, listen, everyone out there, if anybody knows anything about what's going on in Washington, D.C., it's Congressman Doug Collins and Steve Scalise. Both of these gentlemen have their ear to the grindstone. They are constantly working. They are constantly on their toes and getting the truth out to the American people. So before we get to Senator Burr with you, Congressman, I want to ask you about COVID and the good state of Georgia, because Congressman Scalise brought that up. He said, look at Georgia. It's doing so great. We're seeing the numbers going down, but people are getting back to work. And he really wishes that the rest of the states would kind of follow suit, would just look at the facts, use common sense, you know, try to mitigate the spread of the virus, but get people back to work. We got 36 million people who have applied for unemployment in the United States, and it's only getting worse.
Oh, it is. We've got to get back to work. The president wants people back to work. The governors want people back to work. Our governor wants people back to work. You know, the issue down here in Georgia was just communication and how you roll it out. I mean, being one of the first, you needed local input. We had some bumpy starts there, but we're getting it. Georgians want to get back to work. And it is working. We still have some hot spots. We still have areas where people need to be aware of that, but we are seeing it. An interesting statistic, though, is just to show you how much people are wanting to get out. I think it was over 60,000 what we call coronavirus tourists came to Georgia to eat or do stuff after the first weekend or so that we were able to be open. So you see it out there, people ready to get out and get going again.
Oh, I agree. I mean, this past weekend, we decided to go out with our daughter, go to downtown Alexandria, and some of the restaurants are opening up to the sidewalk. So basically, you can get your order to go. You can even get drinks to go now on the street. Like, it's very strange. That law has changed so that they can actually sell, you know, cocktails and beer on the street. And people, you know, were getting their drinks and sitting with their families at the park, and everybody was feeling nervous about it. Like, is this allowed? You know, people are looking around, but people want to get out. They want to communicate with other people, and they want some sense of normalcy in their life. And I know that the Trump administration, President Trump, has been adamant about, let's mitigate the spread of this virus, but let's get Americans back to work, and let's get American hospitals back to work, because we have seen so few people have been going in for their daily checkups. There's a lot of concern that there's a lot of non-COVID related deaths because of the COVID lockdown, because people haven't been going to get their checkups. They haven't been taking care of really essential, I believe, essential things for their health. So is that another issue that you're seeing in Georgia as well? Or was that something that was a concern?
It's coming along. And I think one of the issues that we've seen all along with the COVID is that it almost everyone has a what we'll call a primary secondary, if you wanted to call the COVID virus the primary, then the secondary, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, obesity, those kind of things are being associated with those who it affected the worst. So those are things that need to be controlled. We need to make sure there's preventive medicine going on there. And if people are not taking, you know, their medicine, or they're not getting out and going to the doctor's offices, then those are going to exacerbate the problem. And so right now we're seeing, you know, Georgia's flattening off, which is what you need. But also, it's like every state. Name me a state except for some of the smaller, Connecticut, Rhode Island, where it's, and even there, you have a rural part and you have an urban part. And you can't do everything the same way. When I heard the governor of Oregon, it just recently said, we're going to close till July 6th. It's just like, you know, why? You're the 40th ranked state in actual cases, and you're going to July the 6th? It tells me there's something coming in, Sarah, and this goes transcends a lot of our stories here. It transcends the Flynn case. It transcends, you know, the Russiagate, the Obama, you know, however you want to put this. It's about government control, and people who want to get there and believe that government has the best answers are having a field day right now. And they're saying, oh, we're going to prey on the fears. We're going to lock it down, whether they justifiable or not, because it takes power and moves it to the government and away from private enterprise.
Absolutely. I think you brought up a huge point there. I know the same issue is going on in California, where they want to extend the lockdown. There's a lot of people, I've been getting calls from friends of mine and family members in California that are just so frustrated. They don't know how this is all going to end. And well, we all know in November, come election time, this is going to be a major issue and a major topic. And there's a lot of people that are on board right now, a lot of independents that are saying, look, President Trump and the administration is moving in the right direction, and we need to really think about what's happening to our economy and why we're shut down. And now I'm going to jump straight into Senator Richard Burr, because this was the big news today that and all the listeners out there have already heard from my, you know, my opening statement in the beginning that Senator Burr is now being questioned by the FBI. They've taken his cell phone. They're basically in his cloud. They're looking at his communications. Now, he's always been very open and said, I'm open to any investigation. I didn't do anything wrong. But there's also Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia. You are running against her, and there have been a lot of accusations and a lot of evidence pointing that Senator Loeffler sold off a number of stocks prior to President Trump making certain decisions to mitigate the spread of the COVID virus, both, you know, with transportation stocks and other issues, and stock purchases that would have benefited after the shutdown. So talk to me a little bit about that. Because I know that she has kind of refused today, is what we were talking about earlier. She refused today to answer some of those questions when reporters confronted her on whether or not the FBI has been asking her any question or whether she's part of any investigation.
This is what we've seen. It's just a complete lack of transparency from Senator Loeffler about this issue. I mean, look, nobody can be that coincidentally lucky. I mean, when you just have your without at least raising the question of how did this happen, and when you're supposedly not connected to your folks who are making your financial decisions, the day that you have a briefing, they all of a sudden start selling and buying stocks again over the next few weeks. Your husband starts doing the same thing. We see this, but yet never really given an answer. And today was just another example of just not wanting to answer the question. But what's really interesting is Dianne Feinstein confirms she is talking to the FBI. The FBI is dealing with her. Senator Loeffler compared to Senator Byrd. This is an interesting point. And I think Senator Byrd did the honorable thing. He stepped down from the committee for a time right. while he's dealing with this. But, you know, his sales are 20 times less than Senator Loeffler. So it's going to be an interesting, you know, you can't avoid this. And leadership is about stepping up. And it's not about the liberal media attacking, you know, this is what she's tried to say is a socialist agenda. No, it's about the very appearance of wrongdoing. And you've never answered the questions except to say, oh, it's nothing that I've done. But yet the evidence just keeps mounting up that there were a lot of just amazing coincidences. You've reported on this. Others have reported on it as well. These amazing coincidences lasted over about a 45-day period.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Well, and I think it's very concerning, the fact that she doesn't want to discuss it or talk about it. And you're right about Senator Feinstein and Senator Burr both coming forward and saying, yes, you know, okay, I am answering questions to the FBI. We know the FBI is looking into it. And the fact that that Senator Loeffler doesn't want to answer those questions and avoids them, I think is a pretty telling sign.
Or she's been told not to answer the questions. I mean,
right.
That may be an issue that you have to deal with because it's been going on and your attorneys tell you not to. Look, you know, this has become an issue in Georgia. It's an issue of keeping the seat down here. It's an issue that will not go away. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, when you're in public life, you have to answer these questions like I've had to over the years and of things that people don't understand. You can't run from things just simply because they're unpleasant. And so we'll see how this works out, but this is not good, and it's affecting a lot of things down here.
Well, speaking of unpleasant, those documents that were released, thank God, by Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell. I mean, the president authorized that those documents be declassified in 2018. And finally, now we get some answers. And Richard Grenell obviously turned them over to Senators Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley. And we, the American people, are now able to see how many people within the Obama administration, these are senior Obama officials, requested the unmasking of Mike Flynn's name, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's name, in his private communications with foreigners overseas. So this is very concerning to me, because when you look at what happened with Michael Flynn, and then you look at all the leaks, the lies, the recent information that was given by Jeffrey Jensen to his attorney, Michael Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, that the FBI, basically Bill Priestip, who was head of counterintelligence at the FBI, had come out of a meeting and said, you know, basically that their goal in interviewing him was either to get him to lie or to be fired by the administration. You have to think to yourself, what is going on here? How deep did this go? How high did it go in the Obama administration? And the fact that former Vice President Joe Biden had actually requested unmaskings of Flynn as well was really interesting and very telling to me.
Well, it's very disturbing to me that mm-hmm. what's the Vice President of the United States wanting to have names unmasked? He has people, he has his own national security advisors. He actually personally gets involved in this, but also you have the event that we talk about of the big meeting when Biden was in it and everybody else, in which the day of the chief of staff for President Obama requested the unmasking. That's how President Obama knew about it, to keep Comey and Sally Yates behind to ask about General Flynn. And what was really interesting, Sally Yates thought that was very unusual that he would know that much about it. And what was really interesting to me is him being an attorney as well. You notice it's all reports of this that I have seen so far says, he said, I don't want to know any more else about this. Okay, well, how much did you know beforehand? You may not want to know anything going forward. That's one of those, you know, you go into the restaurants and it says, you know, hang your coat here. By hanging your coat here, we don't assume any liability. Bull, you assume liability. You're just trying to get the penalty off. That's, to me, sounds like a blow off from the president to say, yeah, I know a lot, but yeah, we're not going to talk about this anymore. But you go find out.
That's such a great point, a really important point. And that was the January 5th, 2017 meeting that took place at the White House. That is the same meeting where Susan Rice had sent a note to self mm-hmm. that she, you know, that the, President Obama wanted everything above board, which was really weird to send an email to yourself relaying that kind of message. It's almost like a CYA. And remember, January 4th.
Like a CYA?
It was a CYA. It was a CYA, America. That's exactly what it was. You're right. It wasn't like a CYA. It was one because on January 4th, the FBI was basically getting ready to close their entire investigation into Flynn. They found nothing. We have those documents, America. We have the documents that actually show that he was cleared by the DIA, by the CIA, by the FBI, by everyone. There was no derogatory information, neither on General Flynn or anyone else that was connected to him. So this is really frightening to me that they kept an investigation going. It appears after that January 5th meeting at the White House.
Yeah. Like, look, remember who came in and kept the investigation? When he found out the investigation was open, he just was giddy and texted his lover and said, "Oh my, we can't let this investigation close. We're gonna keep this up, keep it open so we have an end to do this." And then you had, you know, superhero Avenger Jim Comey who comes in with his S on his chest, shame on his chest. And says, you know, I'll take advantage of this and I'll do this. It goes back, Sarah. I mean, you and I've talked about this. There's so much here. This is a pattern from the transcripts I released last year to the Devin's Nunez's report to and let's go back. Let's take it all the way back. If we're going to talk about the Obama administration being a part of the Flynn unmaskings, which there are multiples of, well, it looks like the Obama administration loved unmasking American citizens, by the way. This is an interesting thing. But go back all the way to Obama and Lynch and the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Let's take it all the way back. If you want to, is the old school, let's go old school here. Let's go mm-hmm. back to the beginnings here where Obama inserted himself and said she did nothing wrong. You had Comey come out and play the Comey, you know, whatever Comey is, and moving forward. But at the same time, on the backside of it, you had Strzok, Page, McCabe. You had all of these moving through what was then the Carter Page, Papadopoulos. You just had this moving through.
He exonerated her. Let's remind America that it was former FBI, now fired FBI Director James Comey, who basically exonerated Hillary Clinton months before they interviewed her on that July 4th weekend. So they exonerated her in 2016. I believe it was May. He was writing the exoneration. And then in July, that July 4th weekend that they interviewed her, which basically they didn't record.
With her attorneys, by the way.
With her attorneys, with witnesses.
With witnesses, prime witnesses.
Cheryl Mills.
Yes.
And everyone else. They basically did, and in that exoneration, it was the exact same words that President Obama used. So Comey played right into what Obama had said. And now President Obama, it's going right up to the White House. All of this is ending up right in his Oval Office at that meeting in January 5th and what he knew about it. And now we know from Sally Yates and all of these transcripts that have been declassified by the DNI as well. Thank God for him. You know what? I want him to be the acting director of. I want him to go into the State Department. I want exactly. him to go into the DOD, and I want him to be acting in all of these agencies. He could break a record here, and just clean house. Clean house.
Oh, I agree completely. And John Ratcliffe, my buddy, who's going to get ready to be the DNI, here in the near future, he owes him a dinner. I mean, he went in there and took control of it, which is a perfect thing to do. He needed to. This was just a festering, hole over there that had been kept in limbo because of 3 years of just DOJ at the beginning, the Russia investigation, the Mueller investigation, just everything keeping this churned over there. I was sitting here thinking, as we were just sitting here talking about this, it just brings back so many memories that you forget. I mean, we for those of us, though, you included and Sean and Hannity and Lou and Maria and just so many out there who actually got to the bottom of it. And then myself and others who have been talking about it, we were made fun of. Trey Gowdy, others who were made fun of for saying that, there was a problem going on. Devin, who was, just persecuted by the left, saying that there was nothing going on. And Devin was just reporting what is now fact. So this is becoming a time when you can sit back and you say, if you do the right things for the right reasons, good things will eventually happen. It may not happen when you want it, but it is coming out. And the American people need to know and have faith that they just don't have a roving band of hoodlums at the DOJ doing whatever they wanted to do. And that's exactly what we're finding out.
You're so right, Congressman. I was sitting there thinking about it too all this week. I mean, it is a culmination of years of what Sean used to say in the beginning. We're peeling back the layers of the onion, you know, one at a time. And I remember there were times where I was despondent, thinking, is this information ever going to become public? Because it's such highly classified information, and we were fighting to get the truth out. And without you, without Congressman Nunes, without Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and everyone else, yeah, and Ratcliffe and all the folks that had fought so hard for the truth, we would have never been the wiser. And, you know, our nation would be fundamentally different. And I want to ask you this question because it's an important one. What is it going to take for the American people to actually be able to trust these departments and agencies again? I've asked the same question to Congressman Scalise. You know, the DOJ, the FBI, our intelligence community, our CIA, when you realize that they, people within their senior officials, weaponized our agencies against a duly elected president, it was a coup. It was an attempted coup on this administration. That is my personal belief. But what is it going to take for us, for all of us, for all of you listeners out there? I want to ask you too, what is it going to take for us to trust this again and get America back on track?
I think in the forefront, there should be the old Reagan trust but verify. There's going to have to be a little, you got to trust at least to get back in here. But I'm going to say this, history right now, in the future, Bill Barr, historically, I think, will be judged in a very amazing way. He has stepped in and taken heat from all sides at times, but has came in, and I think he came back with a sense of duty and purpose that said, I want to come back as Attorney General to restore its power, its authority, to be an independent agency to do right by the people of America. I think that's what's happened. I think that's the first step. I think the next step will be Durham and Durham's investigations, which I don't expect a report from Durham. I expect indictments from Durham. That's what I expect at some point along the line. If it happens, that's what I expect from him. But Christopher Wray's got a lot still left to go. I mean, there's a lot of questions still from the FBI perspective on they may have implemented the Inspector General stuff. But I mean, when you have now even more coming out about the FISA process, and thank goodness the Senate is actually taking up at least an attempt at FISA reform. When they just passed it earlier this year, they said, oh, we'll just pass it on down the road. At least they're taking that up now. Mm-hmm. So it's just a building process. It's like any relationship, and relationships are built on trust. And I'm being a counselor and a pastor for years and an Air Force chaplain. One of the things when I counsel individuals, couples or whatever, I tell them that the very thing that they need is the very thing that's broken. It's like telling a runner to go run with a broke leg. They just can't do it. And when you have an institutional relationship or even a personal relationship that is broken, the thing that is broken is trust. And trust is the very thing that you need. So it's going to just take time. And people like Bill Barr, people in Congress who will continue to hold them accountable, to make sure that we get this relationship built back.
And what about Lieutenant General Michael Flynn? Because the Department of Justice, William Barr, Jeffrey Jensen, the prosecutor that was asked to, or the U.S. attorney, sorry, that was asked to look into the case of Michael Flynn, and all of the evidence, this insurmountable evidence that shows that he's an innocent man, and they asked to drop all charges against him. And now this judge, Emmett Sullivan, is fighting that and politicizing it. What do you think is going to happen with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn? Do you think there's going to be a point where the president, President Trump, is going to have to step in and just pardon him?
Yes, I believe it is. If this judge continues this continuation, frankly, I'm going to say, when did he become a prosecutor? Last time I checked, you went into a courtroom, you had a defense, you had a prosecutor, you had a judge. And, you know, you don't have a judge who acts as a prosecutor, or you shouldn't have a judge that acts as a defense attorney. Let's be fair. The judge is the judge, and this is a really unusual step. And if you go back into now, think about this, Sarah. If this judge is now saying that I'm going to force him to accept and say he perjured himself to plead guilty, what is the chilling effect on any plea bargain that has been made in this country, on that point? Then the whole sort of emphasis of a plea bargain is that I'm going to agree to this, whether I'm not guilty here, but there's a problem here. There's so much problematic here, but what it is leading to, and you made a comment just a second ago, you let the word political come out. Mm-hmm. My question is this judge now wanting it to be political to force the president's hand?
That is my question. No, I've already thought about that. You know, the big issue here, and for everyone out there, was so excited about the DOJ's decision because it would exonerate Michael Flynn. Yep. But if the judge forces the president to give a pardon, he always leaves that kind of open-ended, unresolved question, right? And I think you're right on the money there. And I do think that is the political game that is being played now. That is the chess move on the part of Judge Sullivan and these folks, these Watergate prosecutors that have come in. It's to force the hand of the president. But I think the president is going to do the right thing in the end. I do not think that he will allow Michael Flynn to be dragged through this for much longer.
I think the president will do the right thing, and as he has on so many occasions, I think he will. But what concerns me here is a sitting judge going through this process. And, you know, the ones he should be mad at is the DOJ. The people that he should be upset about and infuriated, when is he going to bring in these folks who presented this case and now, you know, withheld? When is he going to bring in, even if the evidence shows that the Covington lawyers need to be brought back in for misrepresentation? You know, when are you going to bring this back into before himself and say, you abused my courtroom? I mean, we forget judges have, of us in the legal community, judges have tremendous power.
Right.
To sanction, to hold in contempt, to do a lot of things. Why is he mad at General Flynn and Sidney Powell, who's done, by the way, an outstanding job? Yes. Of doing this. She's a rock star in this. Why is she mad at them instead of being mad at the Department of Justice, ones who brought this case?
Well, because he's political, because there's no other answer here other than the fact that Judge Emmett Sullivan, it appears, is playing in this political game, one that he doesn't want to end unless it ends on his terms. And I think, Congressman, that's the real frightening thing here, is when we start seeing judges, like you said, become prosecutors, judges become political, and they take these extraordinary steps, which, by the way, he's never taken before. He has turned down 24 amicus. Before this happened, in his courtroom, he has denied 24 times anybody else who's tried to do the same thing to Flynn, because he knows it's a political game. And that really is concerning to me. Before we get off, I want to talk to you a little bit about go back to Georgia and what's happening in Georgia. And do you have any advice maybe for the other states out there? We know we talked about Oregon. We talk about California. There's a lot of Americans that are hoping and praying that they can get back to work. They don't want to lose their jobs. Right. I wonder if there's any advice you can give these other states based on what you've learned, lessons learned in your good state of Georgia.
The biggest thing is what we emphasized first it was communication. And that was the only probably road bump we had in Georgia early on that many of us were fearful of, is the governor just did it sort of unilaterally without input from locals. And in my case, I had a county up that I live in that was a bubbling hotspot. The best thing I can tell governors is trust your people. They're the ones who built your states to start with. It's not you. The people of these states know how to deal this, but work with your local governments, work with your mayors, work with your county commissions, work with everybody else, and so that you will be able to get people back to work. Do it safely, do it within a reasonable amount of time, but give people clear direction. That was the only thing I'll say, is let the businesses know what they need to do, how they need to do it, and make sure that they have access to the protective equipment that they need as they go forward. And then let's get this country going again.
Brilliant advice. That's all we need, is some direction so people can get their lives back in order and know what they need to do it the right way. Thank you so much, Congressman, for being on the Sarah Carter Show today. I appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, and pray often for this country. As a chaplain, I know you do too, and it means so much to me to have you on the show. And I'm bringing you back on because we've got a lot to talk about. He's got a lot of big breaking news coming up, and if you want to see some of the stories that Congressman Doug Collins has been involved in, where can they go? To foxnews.com?
They can go to Fox News. There's a chaplain article out there right now. They can go to our website, Twitter following, and just follow us there, and they keep up with what we're doing.
Okay, give us your Twitter address before I let you go.
I think it's Rep. Doug Collins.
It's at Rep Doug Collins.
The funny part about this is I'll put my radio voice on. They don't let me anywhere near Twitter. They let me read it and they let me understand it, but we have a good time there. But I appreciate everybody.
So they're monitoring you like they wish they could monitor President Trump over at the White House. No, just joking. Yeah.
I love it. No, it's great. It's good to be with you today.
Oh, it's great to be with you too, Congressman. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm just sitting here thinking about how much has happened in the last 4 years. After talking to Congressman Scalise and speaking with Congressman Doug Collins, I wish I could take you all into those meetings that we had years ago or into the green room at Fox News where we would sit there. And I remember being approached, and I wanted to bring this up earlier, but I won't say who, but somebody had walked up to me. And it was when I had first started reporting over a year and a half ago that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrants that the FBI had submitted had been altered. And I said it on Sean's show, and I talked about the implications of that. And I went back into the green room at Fox, and there was someone there, and they said to me, Sarah, you know, I hope you're right. And I said, I know I'm right. I trust my sources and I trust the information that I've been able to dig up. And they said, well, because if you're not right, your career is going to be over. And it was kind of a chilling moment for me because, you know, all I wanted to do and all I want to do, John Solomon the same way and others out there, Chuck Ross and people who've been looking into this, Molly Hemingway at The Federalist, everyone that has been focused on this. And me since the beginning, I felt like I was kind of floating on an island on my own. And John, too, the fear that my career would be over if the truth didn't come out really didn't even hit me until that person said that to me. All I wanted was for the American people to know what happened, because that's the only way we can save our nation. It's the only way that we can move forward and trust our agencies again, is if they're cleaned out and if the truth is revealed and if people are held accountable. And that's what I'm really hoping for now. I'm hoping that Attorney General William Barr and John Durham are going to do the right thing. And history will judge them by doing the right thing. You know, it's never easy when you're in the moment. It's always reflecting back on how those decisions were made. You know, and that's what's going to be important here. And that's how history will judge everybody that was involved in or connected. That's how history is going to judge our nation, us as Americans, based on how we hold our elected officials accountable, how we hold ourselves accountable, and the truth that our nation stands on, that foundation, fighting and protecting our Constitution and not allowing us to become some banana republic and not allowing people who think that they know what's best for us to break every rule in order to do that, in order to get to serve their own self-interests. By the way, John Brennan, James Comey, I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to President Obama, and I'm talking to Vice President Joe Biden and Susan Rice and all of those folks that let their own ideology supersede that of the American people. Our country is more important than that. We are a beacon of light for the rest of the world, and we need to continue to remain that beacon of light for the rest of the world. And the only way we're going to do that is by telling the truth and by doing the right thing and holding people accountable. That, my friends, is how history is going to judge us. Thank you so much for being here at the Sarah Carter Show. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to be there for you. This is about all of us working together. We're all a part of this story, every single one of us. God bless you. We are taking the story back, America, and thank you so much for being here at the Sarah Carter Show today.